Good evening, everyone. For this sermon, you need your Bible and open on that passage that Roger just read. And also, you need your vision document. That should be on your chair somewhere near you. And if you have those two things, then you are, and you have engaged your brain, then you are adequately equipped. Let me pray for us. Lord God, we thank you, as always, for your word. We thank you that you have given it to us. It is your gift to your church. And we thank you that through it and by your spirit, we hear your living words spoken to us, feeding us, that we might grow to become the people, the church that you would have us be. So speak, we pray. Your servants are listening. Amen. So we're doing three Sundays, Vision Launch Sundays, and this is the second of those three, and our theme tonight is looking in. But I want to think to begin with about growing up. There is an old African proverb about growing up, which says this: it takes a village to raise a child. I'm sure many of you have heard that before. It takes a village to raise a child. In other words, it takes an entire community of different people, different relationships, everyone playing their part for a child to grow up as they should. And in many ways, a church can function as a village in this way. One of the wonderful things about church is it is an opportunity to be a part of a community of different people, different ages, different backgrounds. One of the good things about the Six, this congregation, is that it's not at the young people's service. Some of you are young, others of you much less so. It's not just for the 20s and 30s. It is a mixed congregation. If you were at the Six in the Sticks at the Bradley's house a couple of weekends ago, it was wonderful to see that in evidence. The firm leading the worship, really taking charge of all of the upfront stuff, but people of every age gathered together. And I mentioned last week how brilliant that was for my children to be a part of. If you're one of the firm members here tonight, they look up to you. You are superstars in their eyes. And it was wonderful for them to be there. In fact, one of my favourite moments from the Six of the Sticks was looking across, it was during the barbecue time, and seeing my daughter, my youngest daughter, Hannah, who's 2.5, and I suppose about 2 foot high. And she was sat on a camping chair facing Steve Wallach. I don't want to say how old Steve Wallach is, but he's about 6.5 foot high. And they were eating burgers together. There were sort of other people around, but it was Hannah and Steve next to one another, facing one another, engaged in earnest conversation. Well, Hannah was doing most of the talking, and I don't know how much Steve understood, but he was nodding along and making encouraging noises, and it was lovely to look across. If you know Steve, he's a total softy. He loves that kind of thing. Last Sunday, the St. Nick's Glendale cricket match, which we lost, by the way, our team included two of our pathfinders, Eli Green, Miriam Cooper. And while Andy Cooper, he was leading worship up here at the Six, his daughter, Miriam, was out playing alongside some very tall men. She got two of the wickets. Eli Green, our other pathfinder, he got 5 runs, which was 5 more than his dad. He was out for a duck. Second ball. And the church family, at its best, and I recognize that sadly this is not everyone's experience or true of every church, but the church family at its best is a wonderful place for children to grow. But our passage this evening is not about how children grow up, but about how a church grows up. And that's the thrust and the goal of the section that we read. If you look at it, the last paragraph, verses 14 onwards, just through those three verses in that final paragraph. Verse 14, then we will no longer be infants. Verse 15, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow. And grow what? To become mature. Verse 16, from him, from Christ, the whole body, joined and held together, grows and builds itself up in love. And the point of all this is, how do we grow up? We grow together. If it takes a village to raise a child, it takes a church, the whole church, to grow a church. So we're thinking about the growth of the church, and in particular the growth of our fellowship. And this is the second of our three areas, or three directions of our vision. If you've got the document in front of you, on the inside pages, three directions, where we're looking. We look up in worship, everything to do with our relationship with God. We look in our fellowship. We look out in mission. And today in our 10 o'clock service, Joy preached 10 o'clock service, and then tonight, 6 o'clock service here, we've been looking at the two key New Testament passages about the church fellowship, the church body. So Joy preached this morning on, have a wonder if you don't know what it was, it was 1 Corinthians 12. That's the kind of go-to passage on the church body. You are the body of Christ. But this evening, Ephesians 4 is also almost as important in thinking about the church body. In fact, if you're looking at our vision document and the top bullet point under our fellowship, we are the body of Christ growing and building itself up in love, is taken straight from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16, final verse of our reading. Now, of these three areas, worship, fellowship, mission, this second direction, looking in our fellowship, is in one sense secondary. And yet at the same time, it is critical. Here's a quote from Tom Wright, coming up on the screen. Should be Tom Wright, well-known New Testament scholar, former bishop. And I'm just going to read it. The church exists primarily for two closely correlated purposes: to worship God and to work for his kingdom in the world. Looking up, worship, out, mission. The church also exists for a third purpose, which serves the other two: to encourage one another, to build one another up in faith, to pray with and for one another, to learn from one another and teach one another, and set one another examples to follow, challenges to take up, and urgent tasks to perform. This is all part of what is known loosely as fellowship. So do you see the point? Our fellowship, our life together, is in one sense secondary. It is, Tom Wright says, an additional purpose. And yet, it is critical, essential. If we are to grow up as a church in our relationship with God, our worship of God, if we are to go out in mission and service to the world, we need one another. We can't go it alone. You can move on from the slide, Sam. Thank you very much. For all the faults and the failings of church in general, this church in particular, and there are many, I know, the Bible knows nothing of solitary Christianity. You need the church, and the church needs you. How are you to grow up in your faith, to become the person that God wants you to be? How is St. Nick's to grow up to be more and more the church that God wants us to be? Not just by having the right people at the front, the right clergy, the good sermons, not by having a glossy vision document, but by the whole church working together, each part, every person doing its work. Verse 16, from him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. And I want to say two simple things about our fellowship and its growth from this passage. And the first is this: we must be united. We must be united. Look at verse 3 of the passage this evening. Verse 3, make every effort, says Paul, to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. We must be united. In the village next to where I grew up, the village of East Leech in Oxfordshire, not the most famous village in the world. You may possibly have driven through it once, probably unlikely. There are two churches in the little village of East Leech, one on either side of the valley. And it's a very small village. It has no need. It would never have needed two churches in its history. But apparently the reason that there are two is that there were once two wealthy sisters in the village many years ago, and they fell out. They refused to speak to one another to such an extent that one of them built a separate church on the other side of the valley, so she never had to go to church again with her sister. Now, if you've got a really annoying sister, you might totally identify with that. It's a bit like the joke about the Welshman who was, you might have heard this, marooned on a desert island for many years. He was a faithful churchgoer from the Welsh valleys. And when they eventually found him on the island, they discovered that he had built himself not one, but two churches. And they said, why two churches? There's only one of you. And he said, well, that one is the church I go to. And that's the church I don't go to. Now, they are extreme or comic examples, but examples of a general human tendency. And a tendency that, of course, we find not just between churches, but within churches. Why do you think Paul had to urge the Ephesians, verse 3, make every effort to keep the unity? Because it's difficult. It will always be difficult. We should grieve whenever we find unity broken in the church. I have, and I do, grieve for the times and the places where we found this difficult at St. Nick's. Our passage tonight is from the middle of the book of Ephesians. We just sort of jumped right in. A couple of terms ago in the 10 o'clock service, we went through the whole book. And if you were to summarize the message of Ephesians, the gospel, the good news about Jesus, according to Ephesians, it is this. Jesus died to bring us to God. Jesus died to bring us together. That's the message of the book of Ephesians. Look back, in fact, chapter 2, verse 22, top of the previous column, and in him you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Jesus died to bring us to God. Jesus died to bring us together. We know the first bit well, but sometimes we forget the second part. I've got a very short book here about church. In fact, it's about going to church. It's by an author called Tony Payne, Australian. It's called How to Walk into Church. Sounds like a very straightforward activity, but he's managed to write 64 pages on how to walk into church. And of course, it's not just physically how you walk in. It talks a lot, this book, about this call to be part of a fellowship. And the importance in that of Sundays and services. Christianity is far more, you know this, of course, than an hour and a half on a Sunday. The Sunday service is not the only opportunity that we have to be together, but the Sunday service is the primary, the main expression of us, of being brought, not just to God, but brought together. And Tony Payne has a wonderful image about what it means to go to church. He says, every time I walk into church on a Sunday, it's as if I'm wearing a metaphorical t-shirt that says on the front, God is important to me, and so are you. And on the back, it says, and that's why I wouldn't dream of missing this. Now, when we think about our service tonight, the six. And it's important to recognize that we are not a church, we're a congregation. We're part of St. Nick's Church, that's the church. And in this service, we have a whole mixture of different types of people attending. For some here tonight, this is the only congregation that you attend. This is your expression of church. For others, you attend quite frequently the morning service. Perhaps you often serve in the children's work or the youth work in the morning, and you come here when you can. You're occasional attenders at the six. I can see some people here tonight who would fall into that bracket. There are some here who are members of other churches. You're welcome here. Your church doesn't have an evening service, so you come here as a sort of additional service. Great to have you here. We often have visitors from elsewhere as well. So we have here at the Six a kind of wonderful, but a slightly more complicated mix at what we call the Six. And so in preaching on church fellowship, this will apply differently to different people. But given all of that, if you're a Christian, you should have somewhere regular that you attend your fellowship. And you go not only when you're on the rota or when it fits in with your weekend plans, somewhere where Sunday by Sunday you put on your metaphorical t-shirt. God is important to me, and so are you. And that's why I wouldn't dream of missing this. But, of course, that's all very well in principle. But in practice, we are dealing with people. Other people, and they are difficult. Sometimes very difficult, annoying and odd, sometimes hurtful or thoughtless, selfish and sinful, and we're sitting next to them in the seats either side of you. Paul says, verse 3, make every effort to keep the unity. Not make the unity. Jesus has given us the unity through his death on the cross when he died to bring us to God, to bring us together. How are we to do this difficult thing? Keep the unity. Paul doesn't begin with the structures of the church to keep it united. He doesn't go through the doctrines of the church that we're meant to unite around. He doesn't even, shock horror, talk about the importance of vision to ensure that we're all heading in the same direction. He starts with the character of a church that keeps unity. Verse 2, be completely humble. Sometimes it takes humility just to come to church, just to sit in a chair and receive alongside such a strange mix of people. Be humble. Be gentle, verse 2. Be patient. Bear with one another in love. We're talking about growing up. As a church grows up, it needs to grow together. And as it grows together, it must be united. It's the first thing. Secondly, we must be united. Secondly, we must be diverse. If you open up your vision document to the central page and these bullet points, the second bullet point makes this point. We are all different, yet united in Christ. And the fourth, everyone can play their part. We are an orchestra, not an audience. How does a church grow? Not just when we are united, but when within that unity, each one of us is playing our part, our unique part. And that's come straight from our passage this evening, verse 7. To each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. In other words, each of us have received different gifts from God. Verse 8, this is why it says when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. That's a quote from Psalm 68. It's used there as a reference to Jesus ascending to heaven and Christ giving us each different gifts. And we grow up as we use these gifts. Verse 16, again, we grow and build ourselves up as each part does its work. Someone once wrote to their vicar, "Dear vicar, there are 566 people in our church. 100 are infirm and elderly. That leaves 466 to do all the work. But 80 are young people at school or college. That leaves 386 to do all the work. But 150 of those are tired business people. That leaves 236 to do all the work. 150 of those are busy with children. That leaves 86 to do all the work. But 15 live too far away to come here regularly, which leaves 71 to do all the work. And 69 say they've already done their bit for the church. And that leaves you and me. And I'm exhausted, so good luck to you." I've never received such a letter. The church is not meant to operate on the model of a bus with the rector in the driver's seat, perhaps the associate rector taking the fares, and everyone else sitting down for the ride, maybe complaining occasionally about the route or the standard of driving. No, the church, our fourth bullet point, is meant to be like an orchestra everyone playing their part, the leader keeping them in time, everyone's contribution vital. In fact, this passage does highlight some of the foundational and leadership gifts. If you look at verse 11, it mentions here Christ himself gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. These are kind of leadership, foundational gifts. But look at verse 12. What is the point of these leaders? They are to equip the people for works of services, of service. That is so important. I remember some years ago, someone explaining this to me, just helping me to see this in a new light. We often view church as like a football team. So let's say we moved on from the model of the bus. Yeah, we know we've got to all do the work. So we view church as like a football team. And yes, we're all playing the same game, all playing the game. But the clergy, the upfront ministers, they're like the star players. Probably that's never occurred to you to think that. Here is some next. But they're the kind of the star players. We get excited when we have a new signing. Last weekend we had a potential curate for next year sniffing around the church. They were in the service. In fact, they were at 10 o'clock. And we get excited about a new signing, the new star. But no. If you take this passage seriously, what are the clergy, the ministers? They're the support staff. They're the coaches and the physios on the sidelines. You are the team. And our job, me and Joy and other ministers, is to get you ready and to keep you fit to play the game. And you play the game. Both out there, Monday to Saturday, on the front line of mission, and together in the mission that God calls us to corporately at St. Nick's in Newbury together. And of course, to a significant extent, this is already the case at St. Nick's. That's why we have grown. People use their gifts, exercise significant service, leadership, everyone playing their part. We see that in evidence in this service. Thank you. Thank you. But as we think about Ephesians 4 and our vision, we have, we'll talk about it a little bit more next week, but on the back there's a whole section on our goals. We've set ourselves some particular goals. Some of them are related to our fellowship, our small groups, our welcome, our corporate worship, where we encounter God, connect with one another. We set ourselves some ambitious goals for new ministry, CAP, and Meet Monday, and Hidden Treasures, right at the end, Messy Church, some new things. And the message of Ephesians 4 is your church needs you. All of you. And if St. Nick's is to grow up, to become more like the church God wants us to be, it will take all of us playing our different parts. And so please ask on these Vision Sundays and beyond, what's my gift? And what's the part that God is calling me to play for this next season? And the answer to that second question may not be immediately obvious, so please listen out over the coming weeks as we talk more about vision. Even if you've been here for years, maybe everyone knows that you are so-and-so and you do these three things in church and nothing else. Well, maybe there's a new role for you, a new ministry. Of course, for some, your call is to continue in your existing ministry, and thank you for that. It would be chaos if everyone said, right, I'm changing. And everyone laid, it would be total chaos. Please don't do that. Thank you if your call is to continue. But it's important to ask the question, what's my part? When everyone asks that question, it's a beautiful picture of the church, the body of Christ building itself up in love as each part does its work. As we finish, I want to think very briefly again about Sundays. And we said earlier that church is much more than just the Sunday service. But what we do on a Sunday is a powerful and a visible expression of who we are as church. And Tony Payne, again, this really short, helpful book on walking into church, has a suggestion for how to radically change your attitude to church when you come on a Sunday. How to think about the part you play when you just walk in through the doors on a Sunday evening. And it's very simple. It's this. Before you come to church, pray about who you are going to sit next to. Before you come to church, pray about who you are going to sit next to. And I think that's so helpful. I challenge you to try it over the next few months. Some of us don't have a choice. We're in the band, or Johnny doesn't get to pray that moment. He's always sat there on the sound desk. Well, not always, but regularly. If you're always sat in the same place, then pray about who you're going to talk to over coffee. But it's helpful because it reminds us that we're not coming to watch the show. We're not coming to receive the ministry, but to play my part in the orchestra. Regardless of whether you have a formal role or a rotated responsibility, you have a part to play in the family you belong to just by turning up. And that part may be as simple as talking to the person next to you. Welcoming them if they're new. Offering to pray with them if they're in need. Introducing them to someone. Inviting them to coffee or to lunch in the week. Try it before you come to church. Pray about who you're going to sit next to. From Christ, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you for vision, the excitement of it. We thank you for your vision of your church. And we thank you that it is so positive. You love your church for all its faults and failings. You sent your son to die for your church. You have great plans and purposes for us as your church. So help us to grow. Help us to grow our fellowship here at St. Nick's and at the Six here in the evening. Lead us on, we pray. Help us each to play our part. Amen.